It's no question that every person who has ever lived, or is living now, or will ever live, goes through trials in life, don't we? We go through trials. The question is, how will you and I as a Christian handle those trials when they come? David wrote the book of Psalms, wrote much, or most, you might say, of the book of Psalms that you have in your Bible. And most scholars agree that Psalm 71 is one of those psalms, so I'm approaching the psalms as coming from the angle that David wrote it, coming from that perspective. David had his share of trials in life, and we can learn from David how he handled those trials. And so we're just going to read the scripture as we go along this morning, but the first thing I want us to consider is that trials come from many areas or many turns in life. For example, wicked people who don't like us. We find that in verse 4 coming from David. He says, "Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man." David, as if you've read anything at all about him, you know that he had a lot of foes, enemies that opposed him and fought against him. And the word cruel in that verse is the root word for leaven. And when we say leaven, we think about bread rising or yeast spreading. So that word cruel comes from that word leaven, which means something that grows and spreads. So when someone has it out for you, you might say, or is opposing you, it's easy for their opposition to grow as they convince others to oppose you as well. Now, there were people who didn't like David. Even his sons turned against him. And they were always gathering up a mob of people around them to go up against David. That may have happened to you at some point in life, at one point or another. It's happened to me before. Someone spreads rumors and lies about you to damage you and to benefit themselves. And so that's one area that our trials may come from, but another area that trials may come from is old age. Can I hear a witness, please? Can I get a witness? Old age with an uncertain future. Verse 9 says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." Trials come our way simply because we're getting older. There's infirmities, there's sicknesses, there's lack of mobility, there's inability to care for ourselves. Affliction and old age is no respecter of persons, is it? You know, Christians and non-Christians alike, there's no respecter of persons. We are people before we're anything else. We got bodies that grow old and we suffer trials in the latter stages of life. And then we have unfaithful friends that turn on us. Again, in the Psalm 71, verse 10 says, "For my enemies speak concerning me, those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him, pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him." You know, you've seen in the bulletin about my surgery coming up, and I've already had someone say to me, not from the church, but outside of the church. I always have to clarify that. "Well, you're going to have to start practicing what you preach." I said, "All right. Oh, boy. Now we're going to see if you really practice what you preach." I'm not trying to say that that was an unfaithful friend that said that, but nevertheless, let's look at verse 10. It says, again, "For my enemies speak concerning me, those who watch for my life consult together, and they say, well, God has forsaken him. Let's pursue and seize him, for there's none to deliver him." In other words, he's having hard times in life, so surely God has forsaken him. And so let's pursue him, let's seize him. David speaks of being opposed, of course, as in his role as king. His friends see that he's going through trials, and they presume that God has forsaken him. God doesn't care for him anymore. God doesn't love him anymore. As I said a minute ago, David's own sons turned against him. And you know, that can be a terrible hurt, can't it? When a family member turns against you, those who call themselves our friends, and when we get in trouble, they turn from us. There's just something that dies in us when we're faced with this kind of unfaithfulness between friends, even worse when it's family, as was in David's case. And then sometimes we have to realize that our trials come from God. Trials that come from a God who loves us. Verse 20 says, "You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again." Sometimes God allows trials and troubles in our life. We need to get a hold of that, don't we? Now, we're real careful to say God allows trials to happen. But I believe sometimes God sends trials into our lives. God sends stuff into our lives, not because he wants to be cruel to us or punish us in some way, but he sends trials into our lives because there's areas of our lives that we need to get stronger at. We need to improve upon. Places in our life where we need to grow. And sometimes God sends things across our path that to help us get wiser, to help us get stronger. At times God sends us trials across our path in order to put us in a position where we need him first and foremost. You know, maybe we haven't been putting God first in our lives. And that's why trouble comes along to help us realize that. So we would agree that trials and troubles come from many sources. I just named a few, and you could name a lot more. But now let's consider the emotions that those trials can cause. Whether it's a tragedy that you learn of, or news of bad health about you or a loved one, or wicked people causing you trouble, or uncertainty about the future, trials can cause various feelings to rise up within us. And one is the feeling of vulnerability. In verse 7 of our scripture today, it says, "I have been a portent or a miracle to many, but you are my strong refuge." Men especially become vulnerable sometimes when they cannot control a situation. We make the best plans that we can, and we make these plans about how our life is going to go and how we're going to finish well, and then something comes along that short circuits our plans and we find ourselves powerless to do anything about it. We get sick, or our job looks like it's going to run out a few years before we could possibly retire. And David had that kind of vulnerability. But how did he handle that? Well, he looked to God. He looked to God as his strong refuge. Let's hear that this morning. David's God was his strong refuge. David wasn't sure what he was going to do, but he knew that God did, and he knew that there was no one better to look at than God. Amen? And then there's the feeling of insecurity that trials can cause. Verse 9 again says, "Do not cast me off at the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." I don't know if David was in his later years here, but we do know old age brings a handful of temptations to feel insecure. Health is not what it used to be. There may be loss of mental faculties. Most of our friends are dying, and we start feeling that God has forsaken us in some way. I realized that a few weeks ago. A classmate of mine passed away, 56 years old. That's the same age I am, 56 years old, cancer. She battled it and battled it for years and finally caught up with her. And that's the way cancer does, isn't it? It just catches up with you, and then right out of the blue, death comes. And I've got prostate cancer. It's contained right there. They did the full scan on me, and they didn't find cancer anywhere else, praise God. And it can be dealt with. But to hear the news of her passing, you know what I mean? Just at the timing of hearing that and then this. Did God somehow forsake me? No. No, God did not forsake me, and He's not going to forsake you, and He's never going to forsake His children. He knows we need Him more and more with every day that passes. Is that not right? David called God his strong refuge, his rock, and his fortress. When all the things that once provided security begin to fade away, God is still God, isn't He? He's still secure. He's still a strong rock to hold on to. And so when those feelings of insecurity that might come to us, we got to remember who we belong to, right? We belong to God, and God is our strong refuge. He is the strong rock. He's the mighty fortress that we sing songs about, right? And then there's the feeling of dependency that might rise up among us. One of the great characteristics of strong people, and I know some of those folks, they're self-reliant and they're independent. They can do it on their own. It's almost like a child that sometimes says they don't want any help. I can do it, you know. And we get older and we say the same thing. I can do it on my own. I don't need any help. I've got this. But then something happens in their life, and this stronger event comes along, something that's stronger than they are or stronger than they thought they were. And they want God to come and fix it all of a sudden, right? We expect God to come and fix our problems, don't we? We're in a bad way. Our back is against the wall. We're having troubles and trials. God, we want You to come and fix it now. And He doesn't always come now, does He? Verse 12 says, O God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. Hurry up, God. That's what we might say. For the first time, the independent person realizes that they aren't as independent as they thought they were, and realize how much that they really do need God to see them through. I've got a word for us. No matter how independent that you think you are, you need God, right? We need God. We've spoken about the many, many of the sources trials come from and the emotions that it brings up. Now, how do we respond? What's the proper way to respond to trials when they come? Well, first, we need to prepare now. If the trials are not affecting us now, we need to prepare for when they do come, because they will come, right? You've either just been through one, or you're in the middle of one, or there's one around the corner. So how should we respond when they come? Well, we need to make God our focus, for one thing. Verses 1 through 3 in our text today. It says, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress." Sometimes, when we're in the middle of the trial, all we can see is the trial, right? All we can see in the middle of our trial is the trial. That's what we make our focus on. That's what we suddenly revolve our whole world around. But David didn't do that. Over and over in this psalm, he talks about the character of God. He talks about God's glory and God's power and God's strength and God's faithfulness. One thing that we must never lose sight of in the middle of a suffering is the righteousness and the goodness of God, right? It's because of God's goodness that we're able to trust Him, because we know that God is going to do right by us. God is going to see us through. Other people can come around us and have words of encouragement for us and wisdom, and some of them will even have a remedy for our troubles. But at the end of the day, there's only one that you can put your full faith and trust in, and that's God. I'm so glad I know God this morning, aren't you? God knows the reasons for your situation. God knows the results of your situation. Another way that you and I should respond to trials is remember other times when God has been good to you, right? Verse 6 says, "Upon you I have leaned on from before my birth. You are He who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you." Several verses in this psalm is where David is remembering the times where God has been good to him. Susie and I were talking about this the other day. We've been married now for two noughts is naught and the other is 37 years in June. And that's a long time. And so we look back over those times, and we could put our finger on times when the times weren't so good. And we could put our finger on the times when God has taken care of us. When you looked at the finances on paper and it didn't make any sense, but God took care of us. Amen? You be faithful to Him and He will surely be faithful to you. Amen? And God will take care. Don't give up on God. Don't you ever give up on God. Even if it doesn't sound like He's speaking back to you, or even if it sounds like your prayers aren't going anywhere, or even if it sounds like God is silent, or God is gone, or God is on vacation, or God's not paying attention to me, or something like that, don't ever give up on God, because God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. And then we should respond by praising God. Often in this psalm, David praises God for His goodness and His faithfulness. In our worship services here, and I want you to look at this different the next time that you come in here and sing. In our worship services, when we sing to God, we're actually learning how to praise Him. You say, well, we've sung for years. We've sung those same hymns since we were children. But are you paying any attention to the lyrics of those songs? You know, sometimes it helps if you'll just read the music and don't sing it. Just read the words. So you're not trying to concentrate on how well or how not well that you're singing, right? Some of us don't sing very loud because we don't want nobody to hear us, right? But nobody can hear you. Sing out, right? Who are you singing for? You're not singing to impress your neighbor. You're not singing to impress Robert or impress me or anybody else. You're singing to God. And listen, God loves to hear you sing to Him. So it doesn't matter if you can sing or not. It doesn't make any difference, does it? It really doesn't. Sing praises to God. That's why that when we worship in here, we're worshiping the Lord and we're learning how to praise Him. How would I know how to thank God for the sunshine if I hadn't sung that song a while ago for so many years? Sunshine in my soul today. That just perks you up, doesn't it? Sunshine in my soul today. Praise the Lord. A fourth thing in that point is to rededicate yourself to God. How to respond to when trials come? Make God your focus. Remember the other times when God's been good to you. Praise God. Rededicate yourself to God. I don't care if you've been serving Him for 50 years. You might need to rededicate your life to God. You might have grown stale over time. Verse 18 says, "So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, and your power to all those to come." There's your marching orders. Right there. God has more than that He wants you to do, right? There's something else that God wants you to do. Our prayer is, "God, use me until you're finished with me." Right? Have you died yet? Are you dead today? No, you're sitting here looking at me. And hopefully listening. But as long as we have breath in our lungs and life in our body, God has something else for us to do, right? He does. "Use me till you're finished with me, God. Use me to pass on the knowledge of Jesus to the next generation." Rededicate yourself to that idea. Recommit yourself to God. Verse 21 says, "You will increase my greatness and comfort me again." Life's not easy, is it? But it can be victorious. It can be victorious in Christ Jesus. With the grace of God and faith in Jesus, we can face every trial and be victorious. If you're not facing a trial right now, then praise God. Amen? And prepare, though, for what's coming. God wants to make you great for His purposes. Will you allow Him to do that through the dark nights of life?